So did those Democrats give up on tolls this week, or are they just making a new plan to pass tolls? A new manipulation, a new phony storyline, several new misrepresentations of facts. We check in with former state senator Len Suzio to find out his theory. Hi, what's happening?
Hey, Todd, it's a great way to end my week with a conversation with you before the end of the day on Friday.
Well, I feel normally we have you on at the beginning of the week, and it was such a crazed week. We neglected you, and we had to get you in.
Yeah, well, the toll monster is maybe wounded, but I wouldn't count it as dead yet. It can come up at any time, and with the Senate Democrat leadership saying, oh, you know, give us five more days, maybe they're gluttons for punishment, but they seem to think they still can pull it off. So I wouldn't count our chickens until they've hatched at this point.
Well, I don't think these chickens ever hatch. There is a perpetual, in perpetuity, there is a risk of tolls. But I do feel that their hearts were never in this. This is my theory. You tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. I think their hearts, the leadership of the Democratic Party in Hartford, not counting the governor, didn't have their hearts in this thing. They wanted tolls to pass, but they didn't like the guy who was trying to get them to do it, that being the governor. They're not impressed with him. They don't have respect for him. And it didn't feel like the full team effort was going on the way you might want. So they did it. They tried. They cajoled. But they never really had the support they sort of thought they had. And it would never step forward. Those key people, those 18 Democrats, never really were there for the leadership. And maybe the leadership let it be that way because they didn't like the governor so much.
Right. Well, tolls have failed to be passed so far for two reasons. One is good, and that is that the citizens of the state have spoken up loudly and clearly that they don't want tolls. And thank the good Lord, we had some good leadership in the form of Pat Sasser and his group, No Tolls CT.
Absolutely.
And they kept up the pressure unabatingly, even in between sessions, when I think that the leadership in Hartford hoped that the opposition would kind of go away and simmer down. It didn't. It just kept on going. And that's one secret to getting success in Hartford, is you have to be persistent and passionate about what you believe. And that's the good reason why tolls haven't passed so far. But the other reason tolls haven't passed so far is because of the pathetic leadership up there, which is the point you were just bringing up. The governor is no leader at all. If anything, he bears a large responsibility for the failure as much as the legislators who were cowardly in their own
all
way.
All right, since you mentioned that, Len, what did you think of his address, his concession address on Wednesday?
Oh, it was petulant. It was, it was disappointing in the sense that it showed another side of him that he hasn't shown publicly. This is the frustrated side, and the kind of the little temper tantrum side, and blaming everybody but himself for the failure to get what he wanted done.
Wasn't that shocking, though?
Yes. Honestly, I've said this to you before. He's a one-term governor, there's no doubt in my mind, not just because, the people of the state being fed up with his policies, but I think he's in way over his head, and I think he knows it. Mm-hmm. And he's a very wealthy man. What's he need this aggravation for? My guess is he won't even run for reelection in a few more years, because this is such an uncomfortable job for him. Makes him so unhappy and, I think, uncertain of himself. I predict he will not even run for reelection in two
yes,
more years.
I'm with you on that. He is totally unsuited for this, and apparently has never been in a leadership position before, because he certainly shows no instincts or skills for it. And that thing of throwing the Senate leadership, his Senate leadership, Arasimowitz and Looney, under the bus, instead of he didn't at any point to himself and say, and I could have done a better job too.
And there's no doubt he played a big role in the failure, because he kept flip-flopping and saying different things that were contradictory. He won the campaign on trucks only, but then as soon as he is sworn in as governor, the first thing he says is, well, I was wrong about it. Trucks only are not enough. So he spent the better part of last year arguing for tolling anything and everything that moves in Connecticut. And when that wasn't going to pass, he went back to the trucks only theme. And even though he had disavowed it and said it was inadequate, he was now touting it as something that still would be good. So he was just stepping on his own feet over
also,
and over
he,
again.
Inside of all that, he doesn't know how to message consistently. He can't control his own mouth. It just blurts out these damaging statements to his own cause. We're talking to former State Senator Len Susio. We will continue after a quick traffic and weather together on the Eats. We go to the Brown, Payneris, and Scott Traffic Center. Doing a little recap on the amazing week in Connecticut politics with Len Susio. So, yeah, the governor is not good at messaging. The most important of his jobs, to be able to run the lead position in talking. And he seems unable to control his mouth. It's almost like there's kind of a spastic thing that goes on where these random phrases and thoughts get shot out from deep within his psyche through his mouth and out into the world in ways that are totally inappropriate.
Yeah, there's no thought that goes into it. It's just a stream of consciousness, basically. Yeah. And that's not good when you're a political leader. You've got to have a message that involves self-discipline. You've got to be able to repeat the message over and over again and have something to back it up. You just cannot go from one day to the next with a different message or a different angle on it. He was his own worst enemy, no doubt about it. What amazes me, though, Todd, is this, that you and I have talked about this before, but one of the answers, if they want to raise more money, is to simply adjust the fares on the trains between New Haven and New York, which basically two-thirds of the people commuting into New York make six-figure sums of income or higher. So they're the highest income people, not only in the state of Connecticut, but in the country.
And they get the biggest subsidies on their commute.
Yeah, and it's right now it's $130 million a year. But don't forget, a big part of Lamont's plan was spending billions of dollars on the train route between New Haven and Hartford, New York City, so that they can cut the commute down by 20 minutes. Well, so not only are we subsidizing $130 million a year as it is, that means that subsidy was going to increase in the succeeding years as they implemented the infrastructure improvements. So it might go to $150, $160 million a year. Why not make the wealthiest people in Connecticut pay for their own commute?
Can you explain the politics of that, Len? Why is it that the wealthy people in Fairfield County hold so much weight on something that to them can't be that important?
Yeah, I mean, it's 41 million trips a year, basically, according to the numbers that I saw. So it's about $3.50 per trip we're talking about, but it adds up to a lot of money. And think about it, not only should it appeal to the Democrats, but if there's ever a part of Connecticut that's Republican in nature, it's that neck of the woods. So they wouldn't be hurting their own base. They'd actually be following the Republicans to swallow hard and say, OK, let's increase the fares of the trains going from New Haven, New York City. And most of that's probably dominated by the wealthy Republican part of the community.
So do you have any sense of why they're taking the position they are?
I don't, no one's ever even brought it up. That's what amazes me. So maybe that's part of the problem. They don't have enough imagination to stop and think about this. But as you and I pointed out, when I looked at the Special Transportation Fund budget, $430 to $50 million a year of our gas taxes are being used to subsidize public transportation in Connecticut. And $130 million of that is between New Haven and New York City. And you think, why are we taking gas money to subsidize train rides?
Especially when the argument of the Lamont's plan is that this is a user fee. Tolls would be a user fee, which suggests that they shouldn't be given to the rich in Fairfield County.
Exactly. And so that amount of money would be about what he's claiming the trucks only tolls would bring, and no infrastructure costs. They're going to change the infrastructure anyways. That's what they want to do. But that would at least pay for itself. And one other thing, Todd, the president in a State of the Union message talked about rejuvenating or bringing up again the massive federal infrastructure program, the $1 trillion program the governor himself was touting last year, saying that Congressman Larson was gung-ho about it, get to the head of the line, etc. So why in the world will we rush into tolls right now, even if you believe in them, while we don't know what the details are of this federal transportation plan? If acting now might disqualify us from eligibility for participating in the plan. So prudence no matter which side you are on for tolls or against tolls, would be the dictate of the day, that you should wait and see what the feds do.
But there's politics to consider, Len. So in November, especially after the year that's just gone by, there's no reason for Democrats to think that they would not lose some seats. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes. And to your audience, by the way, if they don't have a vote on tolls this year, you can bet, I will bet you my house, that if the same legislature convenes next year, there will be tolls, because they will think, we survived it. Everyone knew we were so close, and they still elect us back in office anyways. So the threat's going to be there. It shows that they can't beat us.
And conversely, there is an issue, a beautiful issue, that every Republican has to go out and campaign on.
Absolutely. It should be the foundation of any campaign in the fall, is to flush out your opponent and where they stand on tolls. And don't let them equivocate, which is what they've tried to do. Well, I haven't seen the plan yet. You know what you do? You say to the Democrat opponent, well, okay, therefore you support tolls under some circumstances. What circumstances would you support tolls under? Make them disclose under what circumstances they would vote for tolls, for everything, for trucks only, you know, et cetera. And the moment they disclose that they're for tolls under any circumstances, you know that they're ready to vote for them if they should be re-elected.
How about the risk of them just lying so they can get elected?
Well, at least you'll have at that point in time, if they lie during a campaign and say, I wouldn't support tolls under any circumstances, the people of Connecticut are oppressed too much already, they're overtaxed already, then if they come to a vote for tolls, then you'd see a revolution, because they explicitly said it. That's the key. You got to get politicians nailed down to speak. And it's a difficult thing. But I hope the media, and Todd, you're terrific at this. You get somebody on your program, you ask them a question. Don't let them weasel around with the weasel words. You got to say to them, okay, tell us what you would, when you would support tolls, under what conditions, and there you have it.
Yes.
They can't, unless you're going to say they're unequivocally opposed to tolls under all circumstances, that's very clear. But if they start equivocating, you know that's what's going to be the excuse next year. We will have tolls in a year from now if we have the same legislature we have right now. Whether they vote for tolls or not this year, that is unequivocally sure, and I'll bet any audience member the House on that.
Well, Len Susio, it's a joy to have a politician on, talking about what to watch out for from politicians in terms of their evasive rhetoric.
Yeah, I'm giving away the secrets.
You are. I'm sure all the candidates are listening, and they're saying, okay, I've got to be prepared to tell this lie. I'm going to say I would never support tolls. And then after I get reelected and I get called on it, I will say, oh, I didn't realize how bad things were.
Yes, that was what happened to Lamont, wasn't
exactly.
it? Exactly. He lost his credibility right from the moment he was sworn into office. That was the biggest mistake he made of all.
All right, Len Susio, thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure. Great way to end it, Todd. Have a great one yourself.
That former state senator Len Susio. WTIC. We're joined by the Sass Man. Oh, he's the Sass Man. Patrick Sasser, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Good afternoon, Todd.
Nice to have you here. So I thought it would be appropriate to touch base with you because it's been a busy week. I don't know if you heard the governor decided to pull the plug on tolls.
Oh, yeah?
Huh. Yeah.
I better open up the paper and see about that.
I thought it would be good to do some reflecting.
Well, yeah, you're right. And it was interesting. There's a quick story. So I did an interview this morning at News 12 that's called Power in Politics. It plays on Saturday and Sunday down here in Fairfield County. And I had the pleasure of sitting there and debating with Senator Will Haskell, who, as you know, is a
young Will.
Senator, young Will. I didn't know I was doing it with him, so it was fun. You know, I got to hear him with all his saying.
You must have just knocked him all around the room.
Oh, it was fun. I kind of got into him a bit in the green room, just saying, you know, what exactly is your goal here? You know, it's tax after tax, and I brought up the ammo tax, and it's just, I said, when does it stop? I said, you literally want everyone to do their shopping in all the other states? I said, what is your goal here? So.
What did he say?
Oh, he just, you know, oh, well, you know, and it's just a lot of stuttering about that. Oh, and let me tell you, folks, he wants to go after everyone for your idling in your car. He brought that up, too.
He has an idling tax? How would that work?
Well, apparently there's some law, you know, you can only idle in a vehicle, I guess, for 3 minutes. Well, apparently moms and dads are idling in front of the schools waiting for their kids when it's 19 degrees out.
Oh, I can't wait till he starts giving them tickets.
Yeah, he wants the cops to issue more tickets and, you know, and raise revenue that way. I said, really, Senator, is that really the answer? We just need to, you know, go after everyone and give everyone tickets and fees. It's just, it is mind-boggling. So anyway, that was my day today, this morning. So that was fun. But
how glorious. Well, you have the best life.
Yeah, lucky me.
You got to sit in the green room with young Will Haskell. How'd the TV segment go with him?
It went good. You know, it was his same talking points, and I obviously, you know, combated each one of them, explaining that, you know, the one thing that he constantly brings up is that all the other states around us have tolls. Well, we should too. So I took that opportunity to remind everyone that when you take a state like New Hampshire, for instance, they have a very small handful of tolls in one area. They don't have income tax, and they don't have sales tax. You take Massachusetts. They have one turnpike with tolls because that state paid for that highway to be built. That's the only road. And I explained, I can drive from where I live in Stamford, Connecticut, all the way to Maine, go up I-91 through Massachusetts, Vermont, into New Hampshire, through Maine. I'll never hit a toll.
I'm sure you explained that we already pay the equivalent of the total of tolls that they collect in Massachusetts using the gross receipts tax.
Well, that's the whole point of it. I explained that, you know, they're not comparing apples to apples, and this whole idea that they can just throw these false narratives out there and just hope that it sticks to the wall. And I'm just, you know, and that's what really has just been so frustrating over this entire battle is that, you know, same thing with, oh, trucks drive through the state for free. And I got the opportunity today to say that again next to Senator Haskell. The trucks pay when they drive through our state because there is a tax on the fuel. They get clocked for the mileage. They travel through Connecticut. They pay. So it's just, it was a good opportunity for me to basically go after everything he was saying.
But did you feel guilty at all? Because this is a little bit like a 220-pound heavyweight fighter getting in the ring with a seventh grader.
I do. And I, you know, looking at him, I do feel sorry in a way. And I said to him, I was laughing with the host a little bit before the cameras came on, and we were laughing about, you know, again, talking about taxes. And I tapped Will on the back and I said, you know, Will, someday when you own a house, you'll understand. You know, I think he looks at it through a different lens because he's a renter. And come to find out, I didn't know this, I guess he works for Congressman Himes. I don't know what he does for him. I don't know if he's on the payroll through the feds or how he gets paid. I don't know. But the point is, until you own a house, until you pay these bills, until you try to make ends meet in the state of Connecticut, people are worn out. People are tired. We're fed up. And I don't think he's understanding this.
But, you know, some people are clueless because they lack experience, and others are clueless because it just fits them so nicely. And I think he's in that latter group. We're talking to Patrick, the great Patrick Sasser from the great notollct.org. Pat, we've got a little sound clip we're going to treat you to when we continue. Okay. Are you up for that? I want to tease it here, so you have to wait like 90 seconds, and then
you got it.
We'll play it for you, and we'll give you a chance to respond to it. This is one of the great statements made by the governor in his conciliatory, mature acceptance of defeat and attempt to own it all, to carry it all on his own shoulders from a couple of days ago. WTIC Patrick Sasser here from notollct.org. So we just wanted to share this little sound cut with you, Pat, if you don't mind, because the governor was asked about you and the no tolls movement the other day. We wanted to play that cut. Mike, go ahead.
Wasn't this a no tolls Connecticut? Do you see it as a political victory for what they say is a grassroots movement?
It's a grassroots movement to do nothing. I mean, I heard their forum the other day, you know, down there. I never heard them once mention prioritized progress. I never heard them once mention taking money from the rainy day fund. All they said was no, no, no. So that plays right into a building that's just happy to do nothing.
But is it a victory?
It's a defeat for the people of Connecticut, I can tell you that.
All right, that was that. Both parts of that were the two of the dumbest things he said during a really moronic half hour or whatever it was.
You know, unfortunately, I think the governor just does not get it. You know, and I've said this in numerous radio interviews. I've said this in op-ed pieces or letters to the editor that I've written, that this no tolls movement is more than just the issue of tolls.
Yes. Right?
It's the fact that the Connecticut residents have had it up to their ears. We are fed
That's
up.
Right.
We are fed up with the constant, you know, reaching into our pockets for more revenue, more money, more ways that they can think about how to tax us, like haircuts and packaged chicken and you name it. We're fed up. And I get, he just does, I guess as a multi-millionaire, gazillionaire, whatever he is, he just doesn't get it. So, you know, we have said time and time again, stop diverting the funds. He doesn't listen to us. What did he do? He diverted the funds in from the special transportation fund.
And then?
In his first budget.
And
I
then?
Say we want a forensic audit of the Department of Transportation. What happens? Nothing. I have Senator Osten tell me at a public hearing, there's no such thing as a forensic audit. Okay, thank you, Senator. Great. You know, so it's just, you know, they are not listening to what we've been saying for a year now. So, yeah, he can say we're the movement of no, and he's 100% right, because we don't want to pay anymore. We're the second highest tax state in the country. He needs to wake up and recognize that.
Patrick, you are so good at this messaging thing because you it's all intuitive for you. And it, you know, that thing, like even Len Fasano and a lot of people have been in the business a long time. They get scared when somebody accuses them of being the party of no. But no is a beautiful word. If you're driving a car trying to keep your family safe, what's more important, the brake or the gas pedal? And when you're trying to protect yourself from these insidious squanderers of the wealth of this state, the great wealth, this is one of the great states in the country that has more wealth than any state in the country, that has an incredible manufacturing base and all kinds of reasons that it should be flourishing. And these plunderers have decimated the state's economic future. And they want to get away with dumbass lines like the party of no. You can't be the party of no. Well, of course we have to say no to you.
Right. At some point, the people have to rise up. And look, maybe he needs a history lesson of what happened on the shores with the Boston Tea Party. Did the people not finally say we've had enough? Did the people finally say we are done, you know, being under the rule of a king? Did they say no? People have the right to say no. And this is where even Senator Bergstein doesn't get it. She called me out the other day in her op-ed piece that I'm a bully and, you know, all these things and, you know, everything else. And people are emailing her and calling her and all these nasty things. That's our God-given right. When you sign up and run for office and you become elected, you are now considered a public servant. You are there to serve the people.
They
you
only
are representative of the people.
They only care about that word servant when it suits their purposes, when it serves them. But they don't actually provide any services except in the most negative sense of the word. I want to play you, Pat Sasser, another great statement, a stellar moment for the governor during his address to the peeps the other day.
You've got a bill. You know what you want to do. You want to take it from the rainy day fund. You want to do tractor trailers. But don't say, I can't make up my mind. I need another week. I need another week. I need another week. I've heard that for a year. And I've lost patience. We're going to fix our transportation plan and are ready to work with anybody who has a constructive alternative.
Anybody who's got an alternative, Pat.
Well, listen, the way I just heard that, it sounds like his party, the dominating party, told him no.
It right? does. And so, you know what?
I guess they're the party of no. Right?
Well done. And you know what?
Yeah.
I think they did tell him no, and he doesn't like it one bit. He can't take it.
That's right. That's right. Look, I think Ned has a lot of work ahead of him. I think he needs to get his party under control, and I think they need to start listening to the people of Connecticut. It's that simple. It's that simple. Listen, we all have to live within our own means, right? Why should the state be any different?
Well, just because they've gotten used to being able to squander the wealth of the state for decades.
You're right. They've become comfortable with it, and they've never seen this kind of pushback. They've never seen people organize this quickly. Let's remember, I started this 2 years ago, but it really took off last year. So in 1 year, look at what has become. You know, and this could be the changing of this state. And I tell you, Len Susio is 100% right. If people don't go out and vote in November, disregard party lines, right? If people, you know, if you're an independent, unaffiliate, Democrat, Republican, look at the policy of the people that are running, whether they're running for reelection or they're a new candidate. And that better, you know, that this issue of tolls and new taxes and all of this is going to be on people's minds.
Oh, yeah.
People need to think about this when they go fill in that bubble or they go pull that lever.
I don't think you have to worry about that at all, because we're going to remind them.
But don't say, I can't make up my mind. I need another week. I need another week. I need another week.
We'll just keep telling them that.
I tell you, that's a good sound. You know, that could make a great song right there.
Like the I've heard that for a year.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. All right, Pat Sasser, thank you, sir. It's you know, we have to get silly and enjoy ourselves and let off some steam, because there's a lot of fight left, and you never know when these devious, hateful people will come circling back trying to jam this thing through at 3 a.m.
Absolutely. And look, Senator Susio brought it up, I think, or someone mentioned earlier about the ammo. Maybe Dan, your caller before,
yes,
mentioned the ammo tax. Next week, I believe, is a public hearing. I'm trying to change my schedule around to be up there in Hartford. I hope people come up there and testify, and there's a big showing.
Well, I'm sure there will be. Patrick Sasser, go to notollsct.org. Keep tabs with what's going on, and thank you for all your hard work, Patrick.
Thank you, Todd. Take care.
All righty. We'll talk to you next week. That is Pat Sasser, the founder and head of No Tolls CT.